It's good, isn't it, hey? It's a real privilege for me to be here. It really is. And I'm just humbled that you'd invite a sandgraper over to be with such a group of blokes. It gets me, like, stirs my heart. Yeah, it's great. I want to encourage Fred and Mark and Simon, Ken, Dale, all you blokes, like, be praying for you this year, because I just heard 19 years ago you blokes had a vision, and so it's 20 years next year. And 9 years ago, I think you moved up here, so it's 10 years. God's doing something with this bunch of blokes. Who would have thought, eh? Like, look at what's happening to all of us. This is not happening everywhere. It's not, I can tell you. There's stuff happening, but something really, really, really special about Better Blokes. And the thing that has always frustrated me about moves of God is that we can think it's about us. And the heart of God is always for those that don't know him. Like, mate, I love this, and I could sit around and talk to you blokes and watch God touch us. It's a, you know how many of our brothers are out there that are, like, they've got no idea, they're lost. They're so lost. They don't even know they're lost, like. And so, if God, I pray God smashes your heart. Like Phil said, he went home and his heart was aching. My prayer is God would do that to you. Like, break your heart for what breaks his heart. That's your brothers. A fire that doesn't have fuel that'll burn out. It needs more fuel, guys, on this fire. And God's out of the box. I saw 300,000 blokes in a paddock in South Africa, locking up in their utes and campers and trailers, and there was motorhomes and swags, you name it, just to encounter this, to encounter the Spirit of God. Just be praying for you guys to think, what could God do if we don't limit him? Yeah? Because there's more than the blokes in this room that need an encounter with God. So, thanks so much. I'm really, I mean it, eh? I'll go home a better man myself, and can't wait to hold my wife back and tell her I love her. Whenever I jump in the car and leave, she chucks me at the airport a bit these days, and I just say, hey, I got your blessing, babe. She says, babe, you go with my blessing, you know. Yeah, God is calling all of us to think about our brothers and how they can receive their inheritance. I want to finish with, so funny, like, this was actually, I wasn't sure what God was going to do this year, but I knew I wanted to share this message. This was the first message God laid in my heart, and it's out of Luke 15. So I'm going to read all of Luke 15, and then I'm going to sing a few songs. Is that all right? God is awesome, hey. The joy of the Lord, you know, it's bubbling deep in me. It doesn't always come out, but it's in my heart, the joy of what God's doing in you, and I pray you take it back. Guys, don't think of Better Blokes in one box and church in another. This is church, like Fred said. All church is singing a few songs because we need to be reminded of who God is and what he's done. And when our faith is living like this, it happens. You don't need to be bashed and preached to. When God's moving, you just share stories because it pumps everyone up. Go and do this in your communities. And if your building's holding you back, talk to the shed men of Horsham. If your old grey building is what's limiting, then God, I tell you, God hates being put in a box. Hates it. Go and meet up in a hall where the blokes from the pub will come. We'll go and meet in the pub. Don't limit God. All right. You ready? Luke 15 is a great story. And this is right in the guts of the book of Luke. And it's, I reckon it's the heart of God in a chapter. Jesus. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? When he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And he calls in his friends and neighbours together, "Rejoice with me, I've found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. One sinner. The parable of the lost coin. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I've found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. How good. Then Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the inheritance, my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger one got together all he had. The youngest son set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of the country who sent him to his field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. No one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him." Come on. Come on, Les. It's good, isn't it? And he kissed him. And his son said to him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and he's found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, that's like, but, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has come back safe and sound." The older brother became angry, refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you, working me guts out basically, never disobeyed your orders, yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours," I'd love a tissue, "when I start it never stops, it's hopeless. But cheers, buddy. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and now he's found." How good is that story? I don't know about you, I hate losing stuff, eh? I get angry. I'm an impatient man at times. And when I lose stuff, there you go, that ought to get it. Freddie's always got more. I hate losing things. When I was a kid, I hated losing my Lego bits, and I never forget. I came home about 18 months ago, and my wife was in the bin in the kitchen, and she's trawling through the rubbish in the bin, and I'm going, "What's happened, bub?" And she goes, "The diamond out of my ring's gone, like out of the engagement ring." And my wife hates rubbish. I have to chuck the scraps out of the fridge because she hates it. So to see her on her knees with her gloves on in the bin, I knew it was... Oh, I said, "No way, that's no good. That cost me a couple of weeks' wages." You know, I said, "Let's pray. Let's pray." And praise God, she found it in the bottom of her bag, handbag, later that day. Looked everywhere. It was in the... She'd obviously put her hand in the zip and knocked it. So we got it fixed. And while it was in there, I got her another ring made for the eternity ring. Got on my knees for our 19th anniversary at the dinner table with my kids watching. I knelt down and I said, "Babe, we've got something for you." So God turned it around. It was good. But I hate losing stuff. And I remember I worked with a chick once. It was when I was a youth minister. And she came over for dinner with her husband one night. She was like the PA to the youth department. And halfway through dinner, same story, looks at her ring, and the diamond was gone. And she was gutted, went home gutted. 6 months later, I'm in the youth office and I'm vacuuming. Not a word of a line. I move the couch, and what do I see on the floor? Right? I went into her. You should have seen this. Should have seen her jump for joy. Like, how good is it when you find something you've lost? And she thought, just shows they didn't clean the church too well, doesn't it? Six months, that thing was stuck in the carpet. God's good. When you get something back, Jesus came to earth and he was partying. The religious hated him, but he was having a good time with the sinners. Do you know why? Because he knew what was about to happen. He knew why he'd come. Jesus came to restore all of lost humanity with a loving Father. Come on! And so he got it. And he's out there having a good time and they're bagging him. And he's saying, "You know why I've come? It's not the sick that need a doctor. It's not the healthy, it's the sick." And because he came and he stretched his arms wide on the cross. And he said, "I'm here for all humanity. To embrace you in the arms of the Father. Brothers in arms." And it says that there's a scripture. It says he faced the cross for the joy set before him. The joy of having a lost son-in-law or a lost daughter and having them come back and being restored. God's brought that up this weekend. The joy of having them back. And the Father God wants all his kids. You got to ask God to give you that heart. That heart for all these kids. And so I love this story. I've just read it so many times. There's so much truth in this chapter that's packed into this story of these three men. Okay, this story, it's a father and two brothers. And Jesus, the wisest of wise men, told this story to the Jews because all through their history, there is these stories of a father and two brothers, Adam and two sons, Cain and Abel. I've already talked about that. Noah and his sons Shem and Ham, you know what happened after the flood. Abraham had two sons, Ishmael and Isaac, right? Have a think about that story in light of this one. That'll blow your mind. The prodigal, have a think. Not now, later on. I'll lose you. No. Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. David, if you read in about David, he had two sons, Amnon and Absalom. Amazing story of two brothers and what happened. So this idea of a father and two sons, right? It's all through Scripture. And Jesus unpacks it. And you know what I love? I love the idea of the Trinity, right? Not the idea, but we worship a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in that relationship is so much power. And God, I have this picture in life right, that of this Trinity relationship, of every moment, all that's going on for us is there's only three things present in any moment. There's the Father God, there's you, and there's someone else. Right? That's all that's happening. All the stuff that makes us who we are, right, is happening in that context. God, your Father, you. God, your mother, you. Every interaction right now, I'm looking at Paul. You know, when you're talking to a bloke, there's something, that's all that's ever going on. Everything else, all this is just stuff, right? But we're put in this context of relationship with God and with others. And when you boil it all down, it's what Jesus said, the greatest command is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. So that Trinity thing's going on everywhere you are. And it's in those moments that spiritual encounters happen, because if you connected with the one who's over it all, and you're saying connect through me, then you can connect them to him. You get what I'm saying? That's what we live for. And it's a mystery, and it's beautiful, and it's terrifying, because we love and we can do so much, but we can destroy, we can hate. I spent a couple of hours yesterday. There was God, there was me, and there was a North Melbourne supporter. Mate, thanks for that. It was a precious time, man. I just enjoyed it, eh? Just getting to know you. You're a champion, eh? You're a real blessing, and that was so good. I won't forget it. Even though we lost, I still won't forget. Yeah, it was good for you. Shut up. But I forgot time. I'm going to have to move. I'm going to sing three songs. I felt like last year, God gave me these three songs about this story. Love songs, written from the perspective of people in this story, because it's our story, right? And the first one is the story of the Father in this parable. And the hardest thing of love, and all of you blokes will know this who've had kids and or lost, is letting go, is giving freedom. Because the Father God has done that for all of humanity. He loved us so much. He created us in image and then gave us a choice to turn our back on him. How hard was that for God? And in this parable, that's the image we got. This Father is a good man. He's representing our Heavenly Father. And the inheritance is the kingdom, right? And he watched as his son chose to take what he gave him and run, take life and make it all about him, which is what we can do to the Father. And it affects us all. If you've got kids, like I say, think of women. I'm always amazed that women, you know, that they're letting go of a child. This child is planted as a seed in their womb and it grows and becomes part of them. And from the day it is born, it becomes less of them. They breastfeed, and then the toddler grows up. They take him to school, and finally they leave home. How hard it is for the heart of a woman who has this connection with her children to let go. And God knows that is real love, because if you make someone love you, it's called slavery. Like, you can't do it. You can't force it. But real love is letting go. And we've heard stories this weekend from blokes who've had to let go, right? And we can, it leaves you, if a relationship's cut off, it can leave your heart bleeding, can't it? Wounded and smashed, and we've heard about that. But Jesus tells a story of three lost things. He talks about a sheep and a coin. It's one thing to lose a diamond ring. It's a whole other thing to lose a person, isn't it? And he lost his son. And he's a father that loves his son, because what does the scripture say? Love is what? Love is patient. And he's a father that waited, and he never gave up. And then he says, love never fails. This is a hard thing to get your head around, but if love has failed, is it love? Because love doesn't fail. So what do we redefine love based on circumstances, or do we question And the truth is, we don't love perfectly because we're not perfect. But perfect love never fails. And here's a story. He gives him his inheritance and watches him walk away. That's love. Then he never stops waiting, and that's love. And then without questions, what does he do? He takes him back. Have a think about that. That's love. Mate, he ran to meet him. You got it right, mate. You know the story, Les. You've read it before, haven't you? This is a song, it's called Let You Go. And I've written, there's kind of three layers to this song. It's written from the father in this story. It could be a bloke singing about someone he loved and he's had to let him go. Or it could be the story of God and Christ. Something so much as I wanted you. I've given you everything I am. Dying in the shadows of the mess you made. Everything you did, everything you said. I couldn't be broken anymore by you. It was a lie that drove you away from me. Hey. Oh yeah, I was shattered, it was gone that day. Gone for good. Gone so you go, I let you fall, gave you my heart and so much more. I watched you run, I watched it all. Still I will wait here just for you. Somebody told me you were hurting now, finding it hard to see. Stuck in the pain, wasted away. I stood there aching in the dust for days. Would you be coming home? Am I ever gonna see your face? I let you go, I let you fall, gave you my heart and so much more. I watched you run, I watched it all. Still I will wait here wanted something so much as I wanted you. I've given you everything I am. He waits for us all, you know. He's let us go and he's waited. And how good is that love of the Father? You know, there's two verses at the start of this chapter, and they're actually the most significant verses in it, because it's the context that Jesus speaks this into. It's actually what the story's about in the Bible. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." In the Message, it says, "By this time, a lot of men and women of doubtful reputation were hanging around Jesus." How good's that? Listening intently. The Pharisees and the religious scholars, some of you blokes have got doubtful reputations, I'm telling you, it's awesome. The Pharisees and the religious scholars were not pleased. Not all of them, not at all pleased. They growled, "He takes in sinners and eats with them, treating them like old friends." And then the Message says the grumbling triggered this story. Because Jesus spoke this into the context of the jealous brothers, right? And it's actually as much about the son who stayed as it is. We call it the prodigal son. But the story's about the son who stayed. And because at the end of the story, the only thing unresolved that Jesus left them with was what was the other son, going to do? Because he didn't actually know the father either. He wouldn't come in and celebrate, right? There's a book, if you ever get a chance, it's called The Prodigal God. It's a book about this parable. It's written by a bloke called Tim Keller. It's really good. And he says this. He says, the target of this story is not wayward sinners, but religious people who do everything the Bible requires. Jesus is pleading not so much with immoral outsiders as moral insiders. He wants to show them their blindness, narrowness, and self-righteousness, and how these things are destroying both their own souls and the lives of people around them. Get a hold of that. So the story was written for me, because I was raised in a church, and I was a kid that grew up thinking we were the church people and all those people down the pub were going to hell. And God loved us because we were righteous. God has smashed my heart for the lost. And for his sons. And every person on the planet is a son and daughter of God. Everyone. The ISIS people, all of them, your worst enemy, are sons and daughters, and they are so lost and they don't know the Father. And like it or otherwise, the Holy Spirit can work in them as well. Because Jesus says, "I'll pour out my spirit on who? On all people. Not just the people that rock up on a Sunday and sing songs about him." And so I hate religion. I love grace. And I've seen the fruit of both. And I feel like one of the most liberating scriptures in the Bible, guys, if we preach this, the seventh chapter of the New Testament starts with this. Do not judge. Do not judge. Stop judging. That's what Shed's so great about Shed. Because any form of judgment, it comes from self-righteousness, we're better, and it's rubbish. And that's why we're seeing so much fruit at Shed, because we're actually doing what the church is meant to do, embracing the sinners and the broken, and say, "Tell us your story. You're a champion son of the King." You get it? This is what Jesus came to show us. And but we do. Brothers judge each other. The very first brothers, both of them took an offering. God accepted one. The other brother got pissed off. Why didn't God accept my offering and killed him? Like I said, you know, Cain was obviously Italian because he bought some fruit and veggie. Abel was a cattleman from the Kimberley. And it doesn't give much away, you know. I reckon after what had happened with Adam and Eve and the fruit, God was off fruit. That's all. That's all I reckon. But you know what? The scripture actually gives us a clue. It says he was testing Cain. God uses our brother to test our hearts. Right? And he said, sin is crouching at your door, but you must rule over it. I've given you a choice. And Cain would have been a different outcome. He could have gone, sorry, Lord. You know, sorry for my jealousy. And sorry if my fruit wasn't good enough. Let me try again. I want to bring it with a contrite heart, but he didn't. So what do? We fight with one another, and brothers and sisters across the planet shed one another's blood. And I've heard stories that shared of brothers punching each other's lights out. I shed my own sister's blood when she was chasing me through the house as a kid, and I slammed her fingers in the door. And I was telling this to a mate of mine, and he remembers when he was in the cot with his sister, and he was only three and she was like one, and he remembers biting her on the bum and these teeth marks on her butt cheek, and it stuck in his head forever. Shed the blood of each other. But we do it out of insecurity and out of jealousy. And you know what? The father, here's the interesting thing in that story. What the father gives him a ring and a robe and a calf. Don't get lost in what God's saying here. The calf is the blood, the atonement, right? The sacrifice. The ring is the promised seal of the Holy Spirit. And the robe is the righteousness of Jesus. That's what Jesus is saying. He, the lost son got. But here's the deal. The jealous brother had never had that. So he's out in his ute with Shannon Noel playing What About Me? It isn't fair, right? Yeah, exactly. He's got his packet of Samboys and they're in there smashing down a cow, loving it, and he's missing out. Yeah. But guys, don't judge. And this is why this is so powerful, this story. The brother is left with his jealousy, he's left cold and alone, and he wants nothing more than to be accepted by the father, which he already was, right? But he didn't know that intimacy. You can go to church your whole life and think you're right, and not have that relationship, eh? So this is a song that's called My Jealousy. And it's written, there's three layers here. It's written from the brother, and it's written from us. It's written from anyone that has thought they've loved someone and done the right thing, but they've kind of missed the point. Yeah, that.
Everything that day. How could you take him back when he wasted all your love away? I never asked for much from you, no. Now I'm wondering why I stayed. My jealousy, so cold to me. So cold to me. I want to keep you next to me, but it won't let me in. My jealousy, oh. You cry yourself to sleep and you wake calling his name. To speak of what he's seen, still you love him just the same. All I ever wanted was for you to notice me. Now I'm standing on the outside looking in, and I can't see. My jealousy, so cold to me, so cold to me. I wanna keep you safe with me, but this won't let me in. My jealousy, oh. Is mine, but you won't look at what I've done. I gave you my whole life and more, but I could never earn your love. Needed you to hold me in your arms again. Why couldn't you ever love me the way that you love him? My jealousy, so cold to me, so cold to me. I wanna keep you next to me, but it won't let me in. My jealousy, oh, oh, jealousy. So cold to me.
I spoke this message at a bloke's thing, and a bloke came up to me after we did a bit of a group thing. After I said, if you identify with one of these songs, and he was crying. He said, "Mate, I've been in the church my whole life. That's me. I judge unbelievers, and it keeps you from the Father because you're not getting the whole of the Father's heart in your own life." Yeah. This last song, I actually wrote this one first, which led me to write the other two. But I sat in my lounge and the last line came to me first. It fell out, and then I just, because I knew this story, so where I sat there and this song fell out in 5 minutes, like I knew the story, I was weeping about this story. It just got me. And because we obviously think, you know, this story is about the last character. Because we relate. All of us relate to this part in some way. Because we've wandered from God at times, haven't we? So we know what it's like when he welcomes us back and he just loves us. And he just goes, "It's all right. I've dealt with all the crap. I love you." And, you know, my rebellion story is pretty pathetic. You know, I was 15 when I made a decision. I read the Bible as a kid. When I was 15, I went to a party and had a few smokes and a few beers, and you know, and I tried. It was a pretty piss weak effort, I tell you. Yeah, I know. I've been so blessed, and you know, I swore a lot as a kid and thought I was tough, but I was a pushover really for the love of God. But have you imagined being so lost and not knowing it? Imagine, I get lost in shopping centres because I can't see the sun. Like, I use the sun to get my bearings. Marriage man kind of helped me. But I do, I get lost and I don't know which way's up. But I remember one time, whenever we go back to the farm, my wife and I love to go for a walk and walk around the property. And this one time, my wife went for a walk and it was a cloudy morning. And she went off on her own. And 3 hours later, I'm going, "Where the hell's Mum?" Like, I'm saying to my kids, I'm like, "I'm hungry. It's lunchtime." We are shocking, aren't we? And I've asked her, she's given me permission to tell this story. She went out for a walk on the farm and it started to rain and she got lost, completely lost in the bush. And it was raining, it was cold. And I get a phone call 3.5 hours later from my neighbours. God knows how, because there's a farm every Yeah, there's a house every 2,000 acres. I don't know how she stumbled across this house. And it was my neighbours, and my wet wife was there, so I had to drive over and get her. And but she told me, she said there was one time she thought she was walking in the right direction back home, and she realised now it was the complete opposite way. Think about that in life. Thinking, you're so lost. Do you know a few people like that? And that's what the Father's watching these people. They think that they're going the complete wrong way. And that's heartbreaking. And we don't know what we're doing. It says in John 15, I love this scripture as well, apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus said that. Without me, you're as good as nothing. In me, it's awesome. And on my own is no good. I mean, seriously, think of the cosmos, the universe. How can we save ourselves? Look at us. We're ants. We're nothing. We're just, God could squash us. Well, you think 70 years of good deeds, a lot of people believe this, 70 years of good deeds is a good down payment on eternity. It's not a piss in the ocean. It's. Think of God. And so we need him, guys. We so need our Father. And I guess the point of this song, the last line came to me first. And because the longer I've walked with God and let him hold me and carry me as my Father, I've realised how lost I was, how so lost. Not until he carries you home. The revelation grows and grows and grows. I was stuffed without you, God. And I wrote that line, I didn't know I was lost till you carried me home. And then this song fell out. So this is a song, and it's pretty much only, you know, there's our story in this. So. I was raised on a small part of heaven, on those hills, in those valleys, I dreamt away all my time. When I was still just a boy, my daddy held me and he whispered. He said, son, when you're older, I'll give you all that is mine. Someday, my boy, I'll give you all that is mine. Well, I watched my daddy working hard for a living, for his bride and his loved ones, he gave it his all. But I was a selfish fool and impatient. I said, give me what's mine, I can't wait anymore. I said, I want what you owe me, I ain't waiting no more. Gave me his riches, kept half for my brother. He said, son, here's your freedom, take it now and go free. So I took all that money and I ran off to the city. I blew it all on wild women, booze, on mates and on me. Was only 10 years later, I was down and unlucky. I was working on a pig farm and I was eating their feed. I thought about my daddy and his house and my brother. Would he give me a real job? Would he remember me? Would he take me back in? Could my old man forgive me? Still miles off when I saw him in the distance. She was waiting down the driveway and he started to run. Yeah, he was laughing, he was crying, he held on and he kissed me. He said, I thought we had lost you, but now I found you, my son. He held on and he kissed me. I've been given back my son. Oh, yeah, he loved me. Put a ring on my finger. Oh, oh, oh. Took me back home. So brother, this is my story. I ain't proud of my failures, but I learned this one lesson from the shame I have known. It cost him more than we know, so I pray you remember. I didn't know I was lost till he carried me home. I never knew I'd been lost till he carried me home. I never knew I was lost till he carried me. I never knew what love was till he carried me home. Oh, oh. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Can't stand up, boys. Thank you, Lord. You love us. We're starting to get it. Father, we just thank you so much for what you're doing in our hearts. And Lord, we pray as we go out of here. Lord, we don't want to make our lives a dam that, you know, fills up with water that just goes stagnant. We want to be rivers of life, Lord. Flow through us. Let us touch our brothers, encourage them, give us a heart for the lost. And Lord, you've changed us. We're different blokes than we were when we got here. And Lord, our hearts break for a different Australia. For our lost prodigal brothers, help us not to be those self-righteous pricks that stay at home and think we got it sorted. But let us get out, let us love. And Father, I just pray right now, blessing your Holy Spirit on these men. Fill them fresh, Lord. Your anointing in Jesus' name across them. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Good on you, fellas. Thanks for having me, eh?